Blog Talk Radio.
All that means is that we have airtime now. We don't have to do anything about it, and we're not on the air. So, yeah, I actually have it in my desk drawer because I'm speaking in Connecticut, for example, this Saturday. It's about 300 people, and I'm bringing them. So I always incorporate it in understanding how people see, particularly when they're companies that are doing things like creating bottles and print for people to see, or websites. So it's been so useful. Thank you.
So glad. We also have, they still have the print legibility and the color guidelines, which are
fantastic. Well, that I send over to all our website designers. They should know about those for sure.
Exactly. And the print legibility drives me crazy when I go to conferences where we're talking about older people and the print is so small on a slide that you can't begin to read it.
Well, we'll soon have to be on the air, but I'll just tell you, I long ago wrote an article for the hotel industry called Why Can't I See the Shampoo? And everybody really, it was one of my best read articles. Why can't I see the shampoo? I'm in the shower. I don't know which is the conditioner, which is the shampoo. I have no glasses, right? So it's crazy.
Exactly.
So, getting back, I just will say when we're finished, we'll talk a minute. But I loved your, I did read the suggestion about the new effort that you're making, and maybe I could be on the subcommittee. That would be fabulous.
I would love that. Okay. Martha, do you know Martha Bile?
I know name, but I don't know her.
She's a professor at Fordham, and she's on the I've asked her to chair that subcommittee. She just went off our executive committee, but she's on now as chair of a subcommittee, the communications subcommittee. And we also have Ida Shang on it from HelpAge USA, who's based in Washington. So they do their meetings by phone, and it would be great to have your participation. I'll make that introduction for you to Martha Bile.
And there is another point, and we're going to start now, but I do want to tell you, I'm taking over something in February that I would like the NGO, or you'll know which is the right organization. It's the directorship of something called Metabesity, which I will send to you. Metabesity was a conference, and it'll still be a conference. It'll be a foundation, but they're going to do their third conference this year. It was restricted to geroscientists, pharmaceutical industry, healthcare providers, even PepsiCo because they have a nutritional component, but anything that had to do with health and age-related diseases. So they decided to expand it. And that's why they asked me to take over the directorship. And the expansion is into age inequality, issues of age inequality, isolation, and ageism. In other words, I call it the softer side of aging and age tech. So with all these new players, I thought, you know what? Cynthia has to get involved or tell me where the UN might come in all of this. Because it's big. And it's Washington, D.C. based. Yeah. It's Washington, D.C. based. And one of the players that always show up is the FDA. So there's a lot of regulators that show up.
Yeah.
And legislators also. So
we got to talk. We do.
Yeah, we got to talk. So this could be something just to have lunch and really discuss. I don't take over till February 15th.
Let's plan something. That'd be great.
Your plan. I'm going to actually to Argentina and to Chile this week, coming next week. And they were those countries were big supporters of the Day of the Older Person.
Argentina goes way back to the beginning of the establishment of the human rights agenda, which is 71 years old now, saying we need more protection for older persons. And they now have historically head up the older, chair the open-ended working group on aging that meets now. And it's the 11th year. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going as a tourist. But, you know, before I take on this big job, actually, I wanted to give myself R&R. But if there's anybody to meet or greet, I'll be able to do that too, you know, I'm there. And I was thinking of calling the mission here in New York and seeing if I could introduce myself there. So I may do that.
Well, yes. You know, Rosa Kornfeld Matt is the outgoing independent expert on aging for the UN. She is from Chile.
Okay.
So I could make an introduction to you, for you, to her.
Well, that's wonderful. And I will send, and I'll look at that right after we're done. It's going to have a great show. So, Stuart, we are actually ready. Oh, no, we're not. I want to know exactly how you want me to introduce you. I know I'm going to say Dr. Cynthia Stuen.
Yeah.
And what are your many titles you want me to use?
Why don't you just use the two, that I'm the chair of the NGO Committee on Aging in New York, and that I am the UN, United Nations main representative for the International Federation on Aging.
Okay, so we are ready. Now we have to be quiet. Yeah, first there's going to be a quick sound test.
I'm testing the sound.
So you want me to talk?
No, I'm just testing.
Okay, go ahead.
Hang on, make sure it plays.
Playing very well, Sue.
Okay, very good. 10 seconds. Sorry. Do you
want to drop in? No. When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and Happy New Year. Not our first show after the new year, but we're still close enough for me to say, make your resolutions, keep it, and if you can't, go to our website, Generation Bold Radio. Go to Ask Adrienne, and we have a lot of hints and tips on how to stay healthy and take care of those seven areas that we all talk about. Of successful aging, of nutrition and exercise and, you know, relatedness, life purpose, and so on. And today we're going to really be lit up by probably new information to all of you. This is a very unusual and unique show. It's the kind of show I love to have because I'm bringing you into a world that you may never have had a glimpse of. And that is with our guest, Dr. Cynthia Stuen. She's chair of the NGO Committee on Aging in New York to the United Nations. And she's also the main representative to the UN on behalf of the IFA, which is the International Federation on Aging. And you may not realize the amount of global interest that there is and the amount of global need that there is with regard to aging. So thank you for being with us today, Cynthia.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
So I want to unpack a couple of your titles because I think it's going to be important to the listeners. First of all, you're the chair of the NGO on Aging at the United Nations. I don't know for sure if people understand what an NGO is. Then unpack that again with regard to what the NGO on Aging does.
Okay. NGO stands for Non-Governmental Organization. And at the United Nations, there is space for the voice of NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, and all members of civil society. So, for example, academic institutions, research institutions, etc., to apply to the United Nations for status to be recognized as an NGO within the United Nations system. That means we have a voice at various meetings throughout the year if we have established our United Nations accredited affiliation.
So one of the things that I know, for example, that'll make it clear to people, is that the NGO Committee on Aging observes the UN World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, and that comes out in June. I personally attended a very big event, and that is the International Day of Older Persons, and you had some very special things going on there, and it kind of raises awareness. Those days raise awareness on issues of aging all over the world. Now, let's go to your chairman. So as chairman there, you're taking over a big responsibility to getting the public to know about this, to getting delegates to know about it. What's your role?
Well, the NGO Committee on Aging in New York, and I say New York because we're here headquartered in New York. However, we have a counterpart Committee on Aging in Vienna and also Geneva. And those two function in those areas with the United Nations departments that are there. For example, the World Health Organization is headquartered in Vienna. The Human Office of the Commission of Human Rights is headquartered in Vienna. And our counterpart committees work in those locations to interact. So our responsibility is really to bring awareness, to educate member states. Member states are the 193 countries who are members of the United Nations. Our
job, you're really raising the consciousness. Yeah, you're really raising the consciousness of countries.
Yes.
With regard to issues of aging.
Absolutely. And I could point to some successes we've had and then challenge.
Point away. Point away, Cynthia.
Well, one of the areas that the NGO Committee on Aging took great leadership with is in planning and preparation for what we call Agenda 2030. That is the Sustainable Development Goals that were adopted by the United Nations at their General Assembly, which meets every September. But in September of 2015, 17 different goals were adopted, and they are called the Agenda 2030, then they run for 15 years, from 2016 to 2030. Their predecessor goals were the Millennium Development Goals that ran from 2000 to 2015. In the Millennium Development Goals, there was not a mention of older persons. However, based on our work and our collaboration with many others, we were effective in getting introduced into the 17 of the 17 goals. In 14 of them, specific references to older persons, and the platform preamble of the Sustainable Development Goals is "Leave no one behind."
So what do you have to remember here when you're listening to this is the way things work in the field of aging and the way change really happens and what agents of change really have to do. All of us, if we are simply going to be in our own silo of issues of aging, are going to get very, very little. We're going to move the needle 4 inches maybe. But when you get involved as Cynthia Stuenhat and her NGA group on aging with broader issues like environmental protection, let's say, that's a very good example. There's more focus on that, let's say, than aging. And yet, there's a connection. So when you can make these connections, that's when the world changes. And that's what we're talking about here. Dr. Stuen is there to make major, major change, not move a needle 4 inches. And one of the things, though, is that there is a focus on aging. And the older persons, the day of older persons, is one of those focuses. So I participated in that as an observer this year. And, of course, many, many countries, many thinkers when they're speaking, including the people from my pew who believe in healthy longevity and active aging. So how do you get all these folks together, and what do you see for next year's International Day of Older Persons?
Well, we're just in the planning phases. You know, the International Day of Older Persons is is established by the United Nations as October 1st. Oftentimes, we cannot plan our observance on October 1st because it is oftentimes too close to the General Assembly that meets in September. And the UN won't commit space in case there's any aftermath of the General Assembly. However, this year we're hoping to be able to do it on October 1st, but sometimes it's a later date in October. This is 2020, the 75th anniversary of the establishment of the United Nations. It's a very, very big year. But we are hoping that it is our year because we have garnered so much more support for issues concerning aging, and not just that aging is a drain on their country's health and wealth, but rather older persons have much to contribute to sustainable development.
So I think we're moving the needle here just that way. For everybody listening, if you would take a look at budgets of countries, whole countries here we're talking about, including the United States, by the way, and maybe especially the United States, you will see the cost per person of aging. You will see the burden on society articulated in numbers on aging. You will see all the negatives of having an older and longevity-growing population. So if it's so difficult to live longer, what could happen? It could be a backlash. But now when you turn the coin to the other side and you see the benefits of an older population with regard to experience, with regard to mentoring, with regard to volunteerism, contribution, and economics, then you say, this is a pretty strong positive in our country. And it has been thought of before. So I have to, in the last minute we have before our break, Cynthia, is it a hard sell? Let's tell the truth here. This is the fountain of truth. Is it a hard sell to switch that dialogue from the negativity to positivity?
Well, it is, but there isn't a country, and I'm talking developed or developing, that isn't experiencing growth in their older population. And one of the projections is that by 2015, older persons will be roughly equal to the number of children globally. That is getting the attention. And I don't care if your percentage of population is currently 5%, you will double your population to 10%. That's no different than the U.S. population, you know, going to 25% by 2050. So it's relative, and they're beginning to sit up and listen.
You know, there's an old sentence, the bigger the why, the easier the how. Well, there's a very big why when it comes to aging populations right now for governments to pay attention. We'll be right back, and we'll look at which governments are paying attention with Dr. Stewart. Don't you go anywhere.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Perfect. So you see how it goes, right? And
yes.
Now we're off the air now. So we regroup. What I would like to talk about is I do want to talk about age inequality, and I want to talk about which countries, because it was surprising to me who is really stepping up to the plate. And what the U.S. is doing, I think people want to know. So are those questions that are good for you? Are they
I'll talk in general terms. Yep.
Now, although you can mention Argentina and then Chile, you know, some of the others that you know for sure are making it a centerpiece for them. And I always ask every guest, is there one thing you really want to bring out that you want to make sure I don't miss asking you about?
Your listenership is primarily U.S., correct?
Well, U.S. and U.K.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because where we really need to move the needle is with the United States to support the legally binding document. Yeah. And
right.
That,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
I'll bring that up.
I just tell you that personally, aging analytics, which was involved, you know, I work with them, and I work with Bruce Frankel and so on that. He's got an international group. I think it's called Pass It On. So sometimes
Pass It On Network?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm helping them.
Pass It On Network's a member of our committee too. Yeah.
Right.
And
I'm
Jan Hively based in Cape Cod. Yep.
All those folks, starting in March, I volunteered to help them get a podcast off the ground.
Oh,
so,
fabulous. Okay. Yeah.
And that's why I need to talk to you, because it was the idea behind it is something that I suggested they're going to do, and that is What's Working. The name of the podcast, which I made up, they could change it, is called What's Working. And each show is somebody from a different country saying what's working in a project that they have to do with aging. And exactly how they did it. Very, very hands-on. It's almost like a do-it-yourself for being an agent of change. So we'll talk.
Right.
We'll talk about this. But yes, that's why some people from other countries listen online. Okay, Sue, we are ready.
Okay. No problem.
Nope.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And before we get back to our fascinating guest, you know, the idea of international and global aging may not be on your mind. It may not be something that you think affects you, but it surely does, and we'll show you how in a minute. But I do want to do a little bit of bookkeeping. Please go to our website, generationboldradio.com. Give me your email address, and you will get our Monday weekly newsletter with hints and tips on successful aging. We also have a terrific store at Generation Bold. radio.com with everything selected by me for a happy life and easier travel, great gifts. It's just such a fun little place to look at, and almost everything that you can get there, like luggage handling and tokens that show where you've traveled all over the world, come with something wonderful like free meal for a child who's in need. So that we've really brought together this whole idea of commerce with being good in the world. And finally, my latest book is out. Yes, it's on Amazon. Just go ahead. You can download it, or you can get yourself a copy, paperback copy of The Income, The Retirement Income Explosion. Have more, spend less, live better. Took me a long time to figure out that title, let me tell you that. But it is The Retirement Income Explosion, and it's on Amazon now. So let us get back to Cynthia Stewart, Dr. Stewart, who is the chair of the NGO Committee on Aging in New York, and she explains to us that in Switzerland there are other, and in Vienna as well, there are other NGO committees on aging that work with the United Nations, but she is also the main representative to the UN on behalf of the International Federation on Aging. And Cynthia, when we left, we were talking about the fact that we're globalizing, and you're working very hard to globalize issues of aging and to make sure that the consciousness of countries are raised. And I'm curious, I'm very curious, who stepped up to the plate? Who's really gotten themselves a focus on aging? And how are we doing in the U.S. with regard to that?
Well, who's really stepped up to the plate from the very beginning has been the country of Argentina and really led the way to say, older persons get lost in just the generic human rights platforms of a country, if they have one. And they established several years ago a group of friends of older persons. These are 25 countries, certainly, that currently are members of the group of friends of older persons at the United States. and it's Argentine. Many of them are South American countries. But there's also the Philippines and Qatar and Slovenia and South Africa, Turkey, for example. They really are committed to working toward a legally binding document, which the UN language would call a convention to promote the human rights of older persons. And I will share
with
you.
Right there. I need to stop you right there. You said in our first segment, did you say 192 countries are members of the United Nations?
193.
93.
Correct.
I missed one. 193. Yeah,
yes.
25 of them, you just said, have signed up, right, for this issue, the issues of aging. So we got to get more. And in that 25, is the U.S. there other than Turkey and South America?
No. In fact, they have absolutely voted against establishing a legal binding. The U.S. claims, and I have met with the representatives at the U.S. mission, claims that the United States has enough laws to protect older persons. And while the U.S. has many laws that do, prevent age discrimination and increasing where regulatory bodies looking at, for example, elder abuse, et cetera, my question to them was, well, okay, so if the United States is a leader in that area, just as it was for people with disabilities in 1993, what about all the other countries of the world that aren't as progressive as we are? Don't you think this we would go a long way in leading the way to promote? And their reason comes back, no, it's not necessary. And the bottom line is it costs money. Well, we've actually done an assessment of how much of the UN budget it would cost. The reason it would cost money is once you establish a legally binding document that the UN passes, then you have to monitor its implementation. And monitoring of implementation does cost money. We estimated it would be less than 1% of the United Nations budget to monitor and promote a legally binding document.
So I'm hearing this first, too, and I have to tell you, I am surprised on a lot of levels. And people don't know, but I have a whole monologue on our radio website, which is generationboldradio.com, on Washington Conference on Aging. And the last one was in 2015. I was there, and it was President Obama was president. And he moved elder law issues of abuse to the federal government. In other words, he put the Attorney General's office in certain cases in charge and made it a federal crime, just the way hate crimes are, so people understand that. And so it's true. There's a real push in the U.S. to take a look at us as a population, and we are 78 million people, and we have a lot of money and a lot of voting power, and the U.S. should look at us. So I'm surprised that they're not doing more, and I am disappointed because global aging affects U.S. aging a lot.
Yes,
so much
does.
So.
And you know,
that Singapore and other countries do better than we do. Yes, Cynthia, your comments.
Well, I was going to say, we have an opportunity. I've met with the Office and the Commissioner of Human Rights here in New York, we have an opportunity in the U.S. when we are going to town halls, to meetings with candidates who are running for office, to raise this very issue. And because all of our international work, our U.S. mission to the UN, comes out of the U.S. State Department. That's where it's housed. So we need to ask our people running for elected office, whether it be for Congress or for president, what do they think about the important role of looking at a legally binding document for older persons at the United Nations so that we might lead the world in human rights cause?
Yeah, I think that the disconnect here, honestly, is that aging is an orphan as a topic and as a cause.
We all age, so you can't say that anybody's being discriminated against. We're prejudiced against ourselves when it comes to aging.
Yep.
And I can easily see how I'm going to go into my pew of marketing. We're just not trending. We think we are because we live in that world, Cynthia. But sometimes we're just not trending.
Right. Which is why I think there has
to be...
Talk
a little bit more about what you guys
intergenerational.
Can do.
Yeah. Well,
yes,
we'll
talk about
intergenerational solidarity. And we are reaching out to the youth because they get a lot of attention, as they should. It should never be one generation against another generation. This is a society for all ages, and we age from the day we're born. So,
and I want you to know that there are books out there called The Age Wars. So what Cynthia is talking about is very serious, actually, in people's consciousness. And we return. We will talk a lot more about this. We're getting really into the depths of the fountain of truth. Don't you go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da.
So in this segment, the two things I really do want to discuss is the intergenerational aspects that you started with, which was great because I would not have asked that. But the other is I think we do need to define age inequality. People don't even know that phrase, but they should know it if they're going to think globally. Okay?
Yes.
And
the age.
Go ahead.
Age inequality was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I can. Yeah. That was the theme, of course, promoting age equality.
Okay, do you need to get water? I hear that your throat's going a little bit.
I am getting a drink right now.
Okay. Tell me when you're ready, and I'll tell Stu to start the music.
I'm ready.
Stuart, you can go.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And I really have a rare opportunity here to speak with Dr. Cynthia Stewart, because she is in a very rare position in the world that has to do with aging. She's worked in the field of aging all of her life. She got her doctorate over at Columbia. She's worked with an organization you probably know, which is the Lighthouse for the Blind, not just in its executive capacity, but also in making huge changes in the way we think socially about sight and the field of aging and sight. But right now, she's really at the crossroads of the way the world thinks about aging and what it's willing to do about it and what the current situation for us as an individual in the world of aging is. Because she is the NGO of the Committee on Aging for the United Nations, but also the main representative to the UN of the International Federation of Aging. And what she was bringing up and what Cynthia Stewart and Dr. Stewart was bringing up in the last segment was something that I explained to her I would not have asked her about. But she's very passionate about it. And that is the intergenerational approach to get us further in understanding that aging is a critical issue for everyone in the world. So, Cynthia, tell us a little bit about how you're working with that, because it is counterintuitive.
Right. As I said, from the time we're born, we begin to age. But I think in the field of aging, which I've spent my entire career, we've all too often just focused on the latter part of life and not thought about the importance of education, awareness, sensitivity for how we educate our young people at elementary, middle, extended schools, how we train our professionals in the fields, various fields that they work in, to not be ageist, to be inclusive of people of all ages. And, you know, you go way back to how when we first started looking at sensitivity awareness and ageism, the old facts on aging quiz that Erdman Palmore designed, and we started using that to raise awareness. And we discovered just how ageist we were as a society, and that continues. It's very important that we make this an intergenerational concern. And there's a very practical issue of why it needs to be intergenerational. Read Linda Gratton and Andrew Scott's book on the 100-year life, and you will see the importance of looking at not only your lifestyles, your education across the lifespan, and retooling and gearing for new areas of growth to extend to a 100-year life. The life that you and I perhaps knew as education, work, retirement doesn't exist anymore, and it won't exist in the future. And how do you plan to live? The child born today expects to live to 100 years old. That is important, both economic, and I'm eager to read your new book about this as well. It's very critical, and it talks about the interdependence of generations, and that's where I think we need to focus.
Well, I'll tell you, you really have sang a song that is in my heart for many, many years now, and I'll make a couple of comments real quick. First of all, the Max Planck Institute has done incredible studies in Germany, but with regard to all kinds of societies, 63% of the way we see older adults has to do with our grandparents and the older adults we saw when we were very young. So we begin to get trained in what aging is the moment we are sensate. And therefore, I'm very tough, Cynthia, you don't know this, on my listeners and my readers. It's our responsibility to show that aging counts and it's terrific, because we are teaching people as we walk in the street and have lousy posture and look like we're frail, we're teaching people that's what aging is. Every time we say to ourselves we're having a senior moment and we say it out loud, which is nonsense, we are teaching people to be ageist, and we are reinforcing our own ageism. Okay, off the soapbox. But with regard to intergenerational, yes, the fact is that in the book, The Retirement Explosion, I think it's important for me to point out to everybody, they may be disappointed to hear this, Cynthia, there's as much information on working as there is on retiring, even though it's called the retirement income explosion, because
right,
people like the
right
word retirement. But I should have called it the working and retiring income explosion, because if you can, why not? So
exactly.
For those of you who don't know, there's a go ahead.
Well, there are a lot of people in our own country, the United States, and in many other countries, who cannot afford to retire. They don't have the pension. They don't have a pension. They don't have enough savings. They don't have enough to live on. And that is where working, it becomes essential. And in some countries in the world, a woman cannot inherit anything. Once her husband dies, she's put out. If she has children, normally she does, if they don't take her in, she is destitute. That's the kind of basic human rights that need to be protected so that everyone, regardless of your circumstances, can live with dignity.
So let's talk about living with dignity. We do have problems here in the U.S., there's no doubt. Some laws try to help us, but we still get fired or pushed out when we're older. We still see ageism in the way consumer goods are created for us. And as one book called The Longevity Economy says, everybody looks at us as patients. So we've got problems, but we've got first world ageism problems. There is something else, and that is age inequality. And you really, really are working with that. Explain what age inequality means and what the NGO is trying to do, what the UN is trying to do.
Well, our whole area, which was the theme of our International Day of Older Persons last year in October 2019, was promoting age equality. And it was and younger people are discriminated against too. You ask any 20-year-old sometimes about what they feel they're discriminated. They have a long list of slights, and their voice isn't heard, and they don't realize they're in the same boat as anybody who's considered an older person. We all have rights, and we all want to be rights holders. And there are rights of the child, and there are examples of binding declarations that have been established at the United Nations, such as the rights of the child to an education, to health care, to a decent so that they have a decent living, they're not malnourished. Those are all part of the Sustainable Development Goals. But let me just give you a little snippet of what we're up against. In establishing those Sustainable Development Goals around zero poverty and ending malnutrition and health for all and access to education, including lifelong learning, et cetera, in the United Nations system, in the old Millennium Development Goals, the cutoff for gathering data was age 49.
Oh,
why
boy.
Was that? Because that was the end of the reproductive years for women. So therefore, you didn't count after age 50. Okay? Those barriers have been lifted. And there's actually, for the Sustainable Development Goals, to say, oh, that's why we worked hard to get people of all ages, women of all ages, men of all ages, a society for all people. So that we're sure that the data are collected across all the lifespan. As I say, if you know when somebody's born, you know when somebody dies in a country, you have the data. What you have to do, and that does cost a little more money, is disaggregate it, cut it up in slices of 5-year increments or 10-year increments so that you can look at differences across the various groups of our population. That's what's
now,
important.
The issue that you brought up and the stopping at reproductive age. I had an opportunity to speak with Gloria Steinem, and I asked her. She's 80 more older than that. 85.
Yeah.
And I asked her if she sees ageism in the same way as she fought feminism. And she said to me, Adrian, they're the same thing. It's all about womb politics. That's her words, womb politics. Gloria.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When we come back, I do want to talk to you, Cynthia, because you brought it up. Whether or not aging is largely a woman's issue. Don't you guys go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, so now I think, are we in the last segment?
All right.
Okay, this is really nuts because we're already in the last segment. We certainly want to talk about issues of aging, but I also want to talk about anything else that you feel. You talked about your success. I'd like to end with that too, with other things that are on a positive note. What are the things that are happening? But is there anything else other than those two things that you want to be sure gets brought out? Is there a website? I want to get the website so that people could go on a website. That's one big thing I'll start with.
Well,
anything else?
Yeah, on the rights issue, there is the I do want to talk about at the grassroots level, GARAP, which is the Global Alliance to on the Rights of Older Persons. And I'd love to give, we call it GARAP, Global Alliance for the Rights of Older Persons. And there are lots of resources there for people to use in their own locale.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
so we're going to start with that to make sure we don't run out of time. Okay, Stu, we're ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg. Unaccountably, we are in our last segment. I can't believe it. With Dr. Cynthia Stewen, who is the chair of the NGO Committee on Aging over for New York at the United Nations, but also the main representative to the UN of the International Federation on Aging. Now, before we go ahead and take a look at aging, women's issues, what's going on at the UN, there's ways that you can get involved. So, Dr. Stewen, tell everybody websites where they can get information and how they can get involved in issues of aging and really become an agent of change.
Absolutely. There is a wonderful organization called the Global Alliance for the Rights of Older People. We give everything an acronym, so that one's GAROP, G-A-R-O-P.
Okay.
But the website is www.rightsofolderpeople.org. And that has a lot of resources, and it links people around the world to what are the issues about how we can better improve the human rights protection of older persons globally. And I really hope people will take them. It doesn't cost anything. The resources are there for you to use in your local country, local county, whatever, to help us create this grassroots movement. We have much we might learn from the disability movement. Do you know they got their legally binding instrument on the books at the UN within three years? And that's because they were visible and they stalked people at the member states in country and at the UN and said, we deserve protection. We are not getting the same human rights protections that people who are able-bodied are getting. And I think we should learn from that and say, older persons, stand up for yourself and make a difference in whatever way you can at your local community.
That is so beautifully said. That's one of the things in our show we cut. That and we separate it, we put it on social media. I mean, that's a really, really wonderful statement and very, very exciting. And part of that, too, though, I think, segues to the issue of aging being a woman's issue. One of the things that the folks with disabilities have is that they can say that they are different. And that has been a problem for them, too, but it's also been a solution. For issues of aging, we're all aging. It's very hard for us to be seen as a group with need. But women have been able to do that too. And if we can make a combination here, we might get somewhere. Is it so, though, that in other countries, third world, what we might call third world countries, you probably have a nicer name for it, women's inequality has a lot to do with age inequality as well. It's a little different here in the U.S. We do have a better situation here. Everybody has problems with ageism here. But has that been an issue that has been dealt with some of the 25 countries that have joined this?
Right. I think sexism is alive and well and continues. And you see it every day. I see it every day in print or news or journalism. It's there. There are the enlightened, like yourself, but still, as we've seen even on the stage for presidential candidates, are the women subjected differently? I do think that there is still remains tremendous inequality. And again, it goes back. How do we raise little boys and little girls not to be sexist? That is a challenge we have across the lifespan. And calling out sexist behavior will go a long way. Women, I think, are part of one of those marginalized groups. In fact, every year there is the Commission on the Status of Women that meets at the United Nations for 2 weeks in March. This year, it's the 25th anniversary of the Beijing Platform. That was when women from around the globe convened in Beijing to really launch what was a women's movement to establish equality. We've gained, but we have a long way to go. And this, the 25th anniversary of that, what we're doing with the NGO Committee on Aging is we go, there will be over 700 side events and parallel events that occur during those 2 weeks, besides the official program of the Commission on the Status of Women. We, the NGO Committee on Aging, will go to those side events, parallel events, and as we've done for the past many years, and keep raising issues. Well, what about older women? And many times we get, oh, well, we didn't think about that. Well, that's sensitization, that's education. Because if we just do programs about older women, we're preaching to the choir. Sorry.
Right.
So our strategy has been infiltrate and convert.
You know, this is a brilliant strategy. What I forget, and I have to remind myself of this, is because I swim in the waters of issues of aging, I think that the whole world cares and that everybody is concentrated. After all, I say to myself, they're all aging. There's nobody that this isn't going to affect. So everybody's all proactive. Then I talk about aging, and you can see everybody's eyes glazing over. They have no interest in listening to what this is all about. So, yes, that is the only way, and it's a brilliant way to strategize. And before we leave, I have to ask you to end on a really positive note. You have really made a lot of strides. I don't want anyone to think that that this is all a work in progress. Lots of really important things have occurred. So if you could pick your favorite win, we'll say, to end our show and incentivize everybody that things can improve, what would it be?
Well, you know, you attended our International Day of Older Persons last October.
Right.
And what you don't know is that the last minute, 3 days before that meeting occurred, we had an inquiry from the newly elected president of the General Assembly from Nigeria saying, I would like to speak to your group. Well, in the United Nations, for you to be asked by that high office to come to the event to speak, that says a lot about how far we've come. And in one of the regional conferences that we helped support in Africa at the end of November, he also spoke. Now that goes a long way to saying, we've come a long way, baby, but we have a long way to go.
Well, I do love that. We've come a long way, baby. We have a long way to go, but if we've gotten this far, we can get further. And for everybody out there, as I end every single show every week, get out there, kids, and make it happen.
I'm inappropriate.
Wow. Well, that was wonderful. I hope that
I
felt really exhilarated by it. Did you?
I did. I loved doing it. It was really great. So
yeah,
what
so
I'm going
fun.
To now, I just want to ask you, because time is of the essence here. You're leaving. When are you leaving for South America?
Okay. So it isn't easy, but, you know, I'm pretty wired. So we leave late Tuesday of next week. And anyone that I could speak with, we're going to Santiago first for several days. We end in Buenos Aires. Anyone that you think I could call and speak to, please let me know. And I could even call them from there if I can't get them, you know, right away.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll try in the next, you know, today, Monday, Tuesday.
Well, what I'll do is send Rosa Kornfeld Matt an email and copy you on it and say, we've just done this interview. Here, I won't go into great detail, but say
right.
you're going to be traveling and you're landing late on Tuesday in Santiago. Is there any chance she could have a phone conversation with you sometime next week?
Right. That would be wonderful. Very much
appreciated. While you're in country. Yeah.
And
okay.
It would be great. And most important is when I come back, we sit down on two and a half counts. One, the subcommittee. The
yep.
other, Metabesity, will be official in my life. I want to explain what it is because it's an incredible conference. But nobody from and one of the supporters of it actually worked at the UN. So I see a lot of synergy and possibility here to have big corporations. Big pharmaceuticals kind of know what you're doing and bring some global aspects to the table. And the half would be just to talk about the podcast for Pass It On and see what we could all do together. That's just kind of a little volunteer, another little volunteer thing of mine that I would
yeah.
love to do. Okay.
Okay. Excellent.
That's
okay.
Great.
I'll do that email. Now it could be Rose Kornfeld, Matt, won't respond because she's out of country or some such thing.
Sure.
Who knows? But it's worth a try.
Never.
Yeah.
And with Argentina, the ambassador himself was at the conference. So there may be something going
oh,
on there.
Yes. I can ask, you'll be in Buenos Aires. I can ask
yes.
our contact at the Argentine mission, Maria Rosa Gonzalez. If there's somebody in country in Buenos Aires that you might meet.
Right. Now, just so you know, to meet would be wonderful. That's the number one thing. But even if that's not possible, if there's a project, I even have visited senior centers all over the world, in 82 countries, by the way. Now I got very disappointed when you said it was 192 countries in the UN. I thought I was getting to very high up in numbers of all the countries, but now I have to double the number of countries I've been to. But I've been to 82 of them, and I've seen a lot of senior centers or senior projects, and danced in China at Tai Chi parks and things like that. So even if it's
sure.
something like that,
yeah,
I'm
just
I'm
a
always
program
happy to
or a project. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even that would be great.
I will do that. Okay.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. So
talk
be in
to
touch
soon.
Now. Just so you know, I'm going to Egypt the end of January, the 25th to February 3rd.
Okay. So by
so
one of my favorite
it'll
places
it'll be after
to be.
That.
And enjoy it.
Never been. So.
Never
yeah.
been. Oh, if you get a chance, you'll go to the Valley of the Kings. I know that.
We are going.
Everyone.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. If you don't mind
Perfect.
Heights. One of the greatest things I've done in my life was balloon over the Valley of the Kings.
Oh.
It's not expensive.
Uh-huh.
It comes. It's early in the morning, so that if you're on a tour group, you get back in time for your tour group wherever those sleepy heads are, and it is
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
And if you're on your
okay.
own, you can easily hook up with it. Ballooning over the Valley
yeah.
of the Kings, you'll never forget it. Okay.
All right.
Okay,
we'll be in touch. Okay.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Right.